Here we go now, baby. Right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Friday edition of Before You Bet. Aaron Ray here on the Covers YouTube channel. So humbled a little bit there yesterday. The hot streak came to a screeching halt. Ended up going 2-4 across Major League Baseball and the NBA. Most of those bets I would make again, though. The Blake Snell one, which was my favorite play of the day in Major League Baseball, it was under 14.5 total outs. He allowed 9 base runners in the 5 innings that he pitched, but the Tigers couldn't really capitalize on that. But we do live to bet another day. That day is today, so we will look to bounce back. And I'll be looking to bounce back with my partner here, John Mettler. John, how are you making out today?
Good. Yeah, the Tigers' runners in scoring position was not their game, but I was kind of excited Spencer Torkelson went deep. I feel like he was the first overall pick. He hasn't been great for them. It doesn't need to be a first overall pick production, but just like make strides this year. I hope he makes some strides. So that's, I was kind of excited about that.
Okay. So yeah, we got some NBA, Major League Baseball to get into. NBA a little tricky here tonight. Steph questionable. Now, we thought he was going to play the other night. He didn't end up playing in Miami. You would suspect maybe he would be playing here tonight. Who knows? Oh, Giannis questionable as well. And we know Dame Lillard out for the Milwaukee Bucks here. So a little tricky, but we will try to navigate things for you. And let's get started off with probably the game of the night, I guess. Cavs, Pistons getting after it. And you have a prop that you like for this one, John.
Yeah, I'm going to go Tim Hardaway Jr. over 8.5 points. I just feel like, so he got injured. He missed. So like he left the game early, then he missed the game. And then the Pistons have been a couple blowouts. I feel like this prop is trading as if his minutes are pretty low, like low 20s. And I don't think that's an accurate like representation of what you might see from him tonight, because they're playing the Cavaliers. They're at home. Cade Cunningham's out. He's not playing. So someone needs to shoot the ball. Someone like a Cade Cunningham's a huge usage piece, not in this lineup. And you have a really nice edge on this prop if Tim Hardaway plays 25 minutes. And I think the minutes will be even higher than that. I feel like it's really down there just because of some weird circumstances around him. And it's not even just the minutes. Like I expect the minutes to be higher, but the shots, like he's going to need to shoot. Like you're going to need your shooters to shoot. Cade Cunningham's not playing. Like I said, this is also JB Bickerstaff kind of like revenge spot a little bit, right? So like he's going to push forward. Cavs second night of back-to-back. I don't know. I feel like this props could be way off. So I'm going to go over 8.5.
Over 8.5. There we have it. Okay. Next up, we go to Denver where the Utah Jazz are in town. I have a player prop for this one. It's going to be on a little known player who goes by the name of Nikola Jokic. We're going to take the over on his point total, 28.5 points. So first of all, a lot of people might be scared off of this bet with it being a 17.5 point spread. But keep in mind, the Nuggets are off until Tuesday following this game. So I think there won't be much of an urgency to reduce his minutes at all. So he's been on fire at home. He's topped this number in 4 of his last 5 games at home, where he does average 30.1 points per game on the season. Last time he played the Jazz, he destroyed them, scored 36 points against them. Utah absolutely sucks at defending the center position. They allow the most points to centers for the entire course of the regular season and also over the last 10 games. They are really struggling to stop offensive players from scoring in the paint. They've allowed the most points per game in the paint over the last 10 games as well. So I do think that this is a great opportunity for him to fill it up here, stuff the stat sheet ahead of a rare 3-day break at this point of the season. So we'll take Jokic to go over his point total, 28.5. And a sneaky little spot in this game here as well. The first quarter over. I'm all over it tonight, sitting there at 59.5. So this has been a fantastic bet in Denver all season. The first quarter over has hit in 28 of 36 games in Denver, including in 11 straight games. So let's break this down. In these 11 games at home, Nuggets first quarters have averaged 67.1 points. Last 10 games overall, regardless of locations, both of these defenses get off to awful starts. They're both allowing over 30 points in the first quarter. And it is worth noting that these teams have played against each other 3 times already this season. All 3 of those games, the first quarter number went over this number at 59.5. So we'll take the first quarter over tonight. Beautiful Denver out on the West Coast, right, John? Remember that joke? Longtime viewers will remember that one. Okay, next up, let's head back east. The Brooklyn Nets playing host to the red hot LA Clippers, and you have a player prop for this game.
It's funny you say that. I don't know. I forget which team or who I was watching. I think it was March Madness in Colorado State, and someone was like, well, they're used to playing on the West Coast because they're on the West Coast for the tournament. I was like, what? There's no way. Like, it was very recent.
There's some gray area.
Yeah, I meant to message that to you when I saw it. I think it was during March Madness. But anyways, we're going Norman Powell over 17.5 points, minus 110. They're taking on the Brooklyn Nets. Norman Powell's kind of had a weird stretch here. So, like, the first half of the season, we without Kawhi, and even when Kawhi came back, it was like he was pushing for All-Star. He was having a really strong year. He's kind of come back here, and his minutes haven't been as high. He kind of hasn't been shooting the ball as well, hasn't been scoring. That's why this total is sitting at 17.5. This is someone who's trained, like, 21, 22 kind of before that injury. He's only playing about, like, 30 minutes, but this is also where this is prop is kind of priced. I feel like tonight against the Brooklyn Nets could kind of be like a get right spot for him. And I just don't know if the Clippers want to put that like workload onto like a Kawhi Leonard. Like, you're playing the Nets, they're tanking, they don't want to win. Your matchup next on Sunday is the Cleveland Cavaliers. So that's a big game. That's a game you want Kawhi Leonard, you know, to be full steam ahead. It just kind of feels like that spot where you could really lean into like kind of getting Norman Powell's confidence back. And he was someone who was playing like 38, 36, kind of higher 30s in the minutes before the injury. He's down to like 30. You only need, you know, at 31 minutes as a projection here, you have a really nice edge to the over. I just feel like the matchup plays. So I'm going to go Norm Powell over 17.5.
Okay, next up off to Milwaukee. This looked like a great game a couple weeks ago. Brunson, of course, out. Lillard's going to be out for the foreseeable future. Giannis might be out as well. The Bucks are a point underdog. I believe they were favored by a point when I looked at it earlier this morning. So maybe that's indicating Giannis might not be playing in this one. So no spread, no total, but a player prop for this game. John, what are you looking at?
Yeah, this is kind of one of those more like a manual projection adjustment here to what you'd kind of see if you go look elsewhere at some projections here. I'm going to go Tyler Kolek under 6.5 assists. So I think this is priced way too high, in my opinion, just because I don't think you're asking Tom Thibodeau to trust a rookie second rounder to play like 35 minutes. And I just don't feel like that's where his role will be. So what happened here is, you know, Jalen Brunson's out, Deuce McBride's out, Campaign is now out. So the assumption is kind of that Tyler Kolek will just play starters minutes. But you saw last game, Tyler Kolek played 12 minutes, but it was all in the third quarter. And then he subbed him out and he put DeLon right in for all the fourth quarter, all 12 minutes. And that was a close game against the Clippers. So I don't think it's right to assume that Kolek's just going to play and run the offense and play 30 plus minutes. And if he does, he does. But the other thing too is if you go look at his assists, so I think it's his last three games, he's averaging 8 assists per game. That's on 8.3 potential assists. That is crazy. He's just converting them almost at like 100% rate. So like the box scores kind of look scary. He's a high assist guy. He's a very good player from Marquette. That's what he did in college too. But you're converting almost like 100%. Like that's also not going to continue. And when you think about who you're potentially converting it to, like you got Brooke Lopez, maybe Giannis on the interior. Those are like two defensive players of the year who can block shots. So it's not even like a great matchup for him passing to guys to convert potential assists. I just feel like this is too high. I don't really trust his minutes. I can tell you I put it at 28 minutes for him, and that's the price I gave out on X. And I feel like there's still a good edge. And I feel like 28 is very, very generous for rookies, especially in Tom Thibodeau's system. So I'm going to play the under there.
Okay, off to Major League Baseball we go. Some good results, some exciting finishes in these games. A couple walk-offs yesterday. The White Sox on track for 162 wins. Wow, what a turnaround that would be for them. Kind of a weird day today, Major League Baseball. They don't know much about momentum. For some reason, I think there's only 9 or 10 games today, so they give 10 teams the day off. On the second day of the, it makes no sense. They start all the games at the same time yesterday. Drives me nuts. But I think I have a pretty good bet here today. I think one of the better looking games is Padres hosting the Braves. And I have a player prop I like for this one. Luis Arraez. I'm going to take him to go over his 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. Minus 120 odds. So pretty simple breakdown for this one. He has great numbers versus Braves starter Reynaldo Lopez. 11 hits and 26 at-bats, good enough for a .423 batting average, an OPS of .923. So he faced the Braves in two games last season where Lopez was the starter. He had five total hits in those games. Now, we didn't record a hit yesterday, a couple sacrifice flies, but anyone who watches baseball knows that this guy is one of the best hitters in baseball. Slotted in to second in the batting order behind Tatis, ahead of Machado and Bogart. So he's going to have an excellent opportunity to produce in this one against a pitcher that he's had success against. So I'm going to take him to go over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. John, a home run prop. I like what you got. Tell me about it.
Yeah, this was a running joke last year that it's always, they always hit one the day after you think you'll hit one. I'm going to go Vladimir Guerrero Jr. to hit home run plus 550. So a lot of people were on him yesterday against the Baltimore Orioles, and he didn't come through. Obviously, there's the whole like $500 million contract. He's got to hit a lot of home runs. He's facing Charlie Morton today. How old is Charlie Morton? I feel like he's been pitching for like 30 years here.
56. But anyways,
how old is he?
He's 56. He had his first grandchild yesterday.
Yeah, seriously. Anyways, Charlie Morton, he gave up 23 dingers last year. It was 14 to right-handed batters. It's righty on righty. So he gave up 14 to right-handed batters last year. But Vladimir Guerrero Jr., he hit 24 of his 30 against righties as well. So it's righty on righty, but both kind of guys, the splits kind of play. Also, early in the season, I touched on this yesterday, you kind of want guys in domes. You don't want these like cold weather, like 50 degrees, not really helping wind or anything like that. So this is being played at Rogers Center in Toronto. So you like that as well. I think that plays there too. So that's also why they have the day off. They give a lot of like the bad weather teams a day off today in case it is raining yesterday, then they can move the game today. A lot of the dome teams play back to back. Like the Tigers always do that. It's like opening day, day off, and then a game. But I'm going to go Vladdy plus 550 to home run.
I want to throw this at you here, John. So we have another one of these games. We've had so many of these in the NBA over the past couple of weeks where just two complete dog shit teams going up against each other. And you know that both teams are trying to lose. You know, we had the Jazz and Wizards going after it, the Raptors and Wizards, the Raptors and Jazz, the 76ers in the mix, the Charlotte Hornets in the mix, the Raptors and Hornets playing here tonight. Now, tanking's always been a bit of an issue in the league. I don't remember it being quite this bad. I don't remember it quite this many teams being in the mix. So what do you think the solution is? I mean, they have a lottery in place here. Some people think it's broken. Some people think there is no fix. But I think one solution would be you can't have a top three pick in consecutive seasons. I think, you know, because there would be quite a few teams in a position, well, they would have no incentive to tank if they're not going to be able to get a top three pick based on the fact that they had one the year prior. I do think something like that would work, something along the lines of if you are the worst team in the NBA, then you are not eligible to have the first overall pick. I think you should be penalized for being so shitty, whereas you get rewarded in the NBA, and you can't blame some of these teams. They're just inventing reasons to be keeping these guys out of the lineup. Do you think there's any solution to tanking? Because it's getting out of hand. I've been taking advantage of it from a betting perspective, but just from an overall fandom perspective, it kind of sucks.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about this yesterday because college basketball kind of has their own issue, and I feel like it's kind of all related here. In terms of the tanking, I've seen some people say make them play for it, so almost like a tournament to make them play for the first overall pick. I think that would be worse just because you'd see teams tank to get into the tournament. And then if you were a better team, then like the Wizards wouldn't win that. And if you were, say, like the Pelicans, you could bring back CJ McCollum, Zion Williamson, Kramer, like all these guys you're like fake resting. You could bring them back and win that tournament and get the first overall pick. So I feel like that'd almost be worse. I think the solution is you just got to abolish the draft. And it's like college where you recruit. And I feel like that would be, that puts pressure on teams to build a good system, to have good facilities, to have good coaching. You make people want to go there. I think you assume the best teams would always get the best players, and they might, but they also deserve it because that's how they built their organization. But there's also a salary cap. So that would kind of minimize that. I think the problem, the issue college is running into right now with the nil and they can transfer and all that is there is no salary cap. So the haves and the have nots, it's growing really wide because, you know, a school like Duke or North Carolina, they can pay way more than like maybe Belmont. And they're talking about yesterday, Belmont's basically become a feeder school for these other schools. So that wouldn't happen in the NBA because there would be a salary cap and people want money and there's only so much thing. I think you got to get rid of the draft. That's my, people also want playing time. So you're not going to go somewhere where the roster is completely filled out. And like, you can't, like, who's going to, like, Cooper Flagg's going to sign with the Celtics? Maybe, and maybe they get rid of someone else, but he wants to be the guy too, right? So, like, I don't know. I think I've always thought we should get rid of the draft.
Yeah, making them play for it is never going to make sense in any league because of the simple reason. It's like, okay, so you're going to put the Wizards and Jazz. They play a one-game thing, and whoever wins it gets the first overall pick. So you have all these young guys on these teams. It's like, wait a minute. So if we win, we're going to get the top pick, and this motherfucker is going to come take my job and cut into my stats and my minutes and put me on the bench. So that's not going to work, regardless of the sport. And when people talk about like abolishing the draft, I think at first people think that's a stupid thing right off the bat. But you talked about it. Like, Cooper Flagg's not going to go to the Boston Celtics. He's not going to go to one of these top teams right off the bat. And I think you can put rules in place where you can only, you're only allotted so much money year to year. So that it can't be the same team throwing a ridiculous amount of money at the top prospect every single time. So, yeah, I could see that. There's a lot of money in the draft, though. I know the league makes a lot of money off that as well. So I doubt we'll see that. But
it also kind of forces these teams to get out into their community and, like, make relationships with their local, like, AAU teams, all these things. Because if there was someone like Cooper Flagg's from Maine, so it's not a great example, but say there was someone from Toronto who's going to be a first overall pick, if the Raptors were like kind of a part of his life the whole way through, you probably have a better chance of getting him when it comes to his time to join the NBA, right? So there's also like that element of like investing in, that's what the EuroLeague system is too. Like Franz Wagner has talked about that, where they don't have travel teams or AAU teams. It's the professional team has a travel team and they just, they're like U10, U11. It's all like Raptors, Raptors, Raptors. And then eventually you get to an age where you might actually play for the Raptors. That's how it works in EuroLeague. So, they don't have a draft either. I don't know. I feel like the draft is the problem.
Yeah, I like it. Okay. I doubt that will happen, but maybe one day it would be cool to see. Okay. So that does it for the show today. That does it for, oh, did you have something you want to say there?
Yeah, we got to do the SGP.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. That's why a lot of the people are like, what the hell's going on? I don't know what's going on. I got too much going on here with baseball back, but you do have an SGP cooked up. Thank you for interjecting. What do you have for us?
This would have been a bad one too, because if it hit, it's a massive one. It's plus 3,400. Imagine the same. We didn't talk about it. So I'm going to go, this is the Cavs Pistons, and I'm going to go Tim Hardaway Jr. These are big alt prices here. Tim Hardaway Jr., 15 plus points. Malik Beasley, 20 plus points. Pistons money line, plus 3,400. So Tim Hardaway Jr. is saying, I feel like the minutes could be higher. I feel like Malik Beasley kind of falls in that category too, what I was saying with Tim Hardaway Jr., where you just kind of have these circumstances where they've been part of blowouts. Their minutes haven't been that high. But the usage and the, you know, without Cade Cunningham, I don't feel like these prices are accounting for that as much as they should. And you're going to need your shooters. And if your shooters are shooting, you can take down the Cavaliers. It's a second night of a back-to-back for the Cavs. I don't know how much they're going to push to like even win this game. The spread has come down. It opened about 8. It's down to about 5 now. You might see someone ruled out at this moment, like Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell, Evan Mobley is expected to play. But these guys actually might not even play. So plus 3,400, I feel like this is a really good price. I don't think you're asking for a lot here. Like, you look at those point totals, you're like, those guys can get that. So, and that's the SGP.
Hell yeah, let's go. Okay, to recap the bets today, I like Jokic to go over his point total, 28.5. I love the first quarter over in that game versus the Jazz at 59.5. Arraez to go over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. And John, if you could recap your picks, please.
Going Tim Hardaway Jr. over 8.5 points. Norm Powell over 17.5 points. Tyler Kolek under 6.5 assists. Vladdy, get that money. Put one in the seats. Plus a home run, plus 550 in SGP. Tim Hardaway Jr., 15 plus points. Malik Beasley, 20 plus points. Pistons, money line, plus 3,400.
Yeah, the Blue Jays, that was a rough start to their season there yesterday. That pregame took forever. I don't know if you watched it. They're honoring Kevin Kiermaier for some reason. This dramatic video package for him coming out. It was a complete and total disaster for the Blue Jays. We'll see if they can bounce back here today. And hopefully I will bounce back with my bets. So overall, though, a pretty good week. Down day yesterday. So we will try to finish the week off strong here today. Go into the weekend. We're going to be right back with you guys on Monday, breaking down everything in the world of sports betting. If you're looking for March Madness picks, the guys are doing a great job covering the tournament. You can find the video with picks for today's Sweet 16 games in the video channel here on the Covers YouTube channel. Make sure you like and subscribe. Okay, thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you to our sponsor, BetMGM. Make sure you check them out for all your sports betting needs. Enjoy the games tonight. Best of luck with your bets. We'll catch you guys again on Monday.